I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Austin Bechtel for Fan Headlines. Pirates lost to the Seattle Mariners yesterday 6-3 in extra innings. The Bucks are 6-18 since starting 20-8 overall and have yet to win a series in May. Pirates are in San Francisco tonight, beginning at 5:05. You can hear the game on 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA, beginning at the pregame show at 4:40. Rich Hill on the mound opposite Anthony DeSclafani. Pirates at 26-26 overall. Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. Boston looks to close out the Miami Heat. Boston was down 3-0 in the series. Tip-off at 8:30. Dallas Stars host the Vegas Golden Knights. Vegas up 3-2. For more fan headlines, go to 937thefan.com. Headlines powered by Bowser, celebrating 40 years of serving Pittsburgh.
We got people texting in about the trick to understand the calendar, where you count off your knuckles. Harry Callis once brought this to my attention. Austin Bechtold, who is... Bechtold?
Bechtold.
Extra,
that was close.
Extra T in there.
Yeah.
Well, Austin is... running the board today. He's producing the show. He's doing an excellent job. Did a really good early morning show. Now he's putting music back into my ears real loud. Just when I'm complimenting you, Austin, you shoot the music right into my ears.
Oh, I thank you for that.
Mm-hmm. I make more mistakes back there than you do, and I've been running this board for a year, so it's okay. It happens. I screw things up all the time. But Austin's dad said, yeah, you could do that trick where you count off your knuckles. Nicholas Callis says you could do the trick where you count off your knuckles. And the most important thing is the Pirates have a chance to win a series in May here. You got three games left in May. There's 31 days in May. They got a chance. I don't feel good about it. San Francisco has jumped the Pirates in the wild card standing. The Bucks a half game back of San Francisco. And then the big bad St. Louis Cardinals, who haven't been so big and bad this year, come to town. But objects in the rearview mirror are closer than they appear. They're closing in now on the Pirates. Yuck. If I had to bet right now, I'd say the St. Louis Cardinals win more games than the Pirates do. I'd be happy to be wrong about that. Hasn't happened in the history of the NL Central. I don't think it's going to happen this year, but hey, we will see. Hit me up on Twitter, @_AdamCrowley. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep, Ram and Peters Township. Visit them online at southhillsjeep.com. It's also... 8:03, good time to review your auto and home insurance with the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia. Doran and I were able to catch up with former Steelers quarterback Charlie Batch last week. Wanted to let you hear it here on the show. It's Memorial Day, so a little bit of a best of these next couple of hours. Charlie Batch was asked first, broad strokes. What's he expect? What's he seen out of Kenny Pickett?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, obviously, with being thrown in the manner that he did last October, that was a tough stretch. And I don't care if Mitch Trubisky was quarterbacking now. I don't think they would have came out of it in the manner that they, 1-3 best, maybe 2-2. But as the year went on, I think what I like coming out of that bye week, coming into the Saints game, you saw the game starting to slow down for him. And he wasn't making the same mistakes. And you saw him progressively getting better and better. And, of course, we know about the comebacks that he was able to bring this team back from. And I really like where he's at. And as he enters into this offseason, all that experience and the game film that he played with last year, he gets to learn from that. And now having Matt Canada back and him being in his offense, I expect him to get better this season. And this is going to be hopefully similar to what Ben Roethlisberger did from his first year to second year.
Charlie, explain the dynamic between starting quarterback and backup quarterback, starting quarterback. you know, you and Ben's situation, Mitch Trubisky being re-signed and extended, and Kenny's situation. How does that dynamic kind of work out operational-wise throughout the season?
Yeah, I think when you understand your role, you know, that's one thing. And, of course, you know, with him being signed back, everybody knew, or at least he understood that he was going to be the backup, which was completely different than last year. He was signed to be the starter. The difference this year is the fact that, and it's going to be really, really interesting at the beginning of the year on how this transpires. Last year, Mr. Trubisky was voted a captain. And now here you are re-signing back to the same team that voted you the captain. What is that going to look like? And they're going to switch and say, hey, now Kenny Pickett's the captain? Or do you now stay with Mr. Trubisky? So it's going to be really interesting to see what happened from that dynamic. But ultimately, everybody knows this is Kenny's team. I'm just looking at that when nobody else is really paying attention to it come September.
Charlie, when did it kind of click for you? Because you had a lot of success in the NFL before you came to Pittsburgh. When did it kind of set in for you, okay, I'm ready to be a backup quarterback and start that chapter of my career? Because I was a little bit surprised that Trubisky decided to sign that extension and kind of come to terms with that.
Yeah, every circumstance is different. And of course, mine was different because I had experience coming into here. And then, of course, I signed a one-year, then a multi-year deal. But ultimately, every time that my contract expired, there weren't any opportunities for a starting job. And ultimately, if it was going to be the backup, why switch and just make a change for the sake of making a change? That's how I ended up back in Pittsburgh. And then ultimately, when they offer you that three-year deal and you accept it, that's telling everybody around the league, including the team that you're at, is saying, hey, I'm okay in this particular role. The team wants me here, and I'm going to embrace it and help the starter in that particular capacity. I think Mitch is at that point right now because if he wasn't, he wouldn't have signed a three-year deal.
Charlie, did the receivers and skilled position guys need to grow and develop at the same pace as Kenny Pickett this year for this offense to be successful and to score points?
Yeah, I mean, everybody, you know, this time of year, everybody gets enamored with the fact of throwing on air and 7-on-7 and working with your receivers and taking trips out of town to continue to work. Ultimately, it's to come down to the system that you're in. And right now, looking at Matt Canada's offense, we're not going to be throwing the ball 40 times a game. So let's not get excited about that. Now, can that eventually grow to that? Yeah, but I just don't think it's going to be this year. So I think that's going to come in the manner of how well that Kenny Pickett grasped this offense, which he looks really good. I was there on Tuesday. He looked really good in command and control of the offense. It's just a matter of how much Matt Canada is going to allow him to embrace that. And I think the biggest difference, I know I made the comparison to him and Ben Roethlisberger, but I think the biggest comparison in Ben Roethlisberger's second year was the fact that he was able to run no huddle and was able to embrace that. I just don't see that right now and in Matt Canada's offense. So I don't know if we're going to see that element of it. But, man, if he can get to that point, we'll really see he'll take that really huge jump from year one to year two.
Well, Charlie, talking about that jump from year one to year two, losing record for you guys in your first year, winning record for you in year two, more touchdowns, higher quarterback rating. When did it sort of click for you? And you just said you saw Kenny, and it looks to be clicking for him. So when did it happen for you?
Yeah, having the opportunity to play in your very first year, man, that is big time because you get that experience. You're essentially being thrown into the fire, and you're learning on the fly. And that was something that I was able to do, and those were things that I appreciated. Not necessarily when I was going through it at the time, but ultimately it allows you to lean on that experience because the game ultimately slows down for you. Now, of course, my first year I had Barry Sanders. Man, what a great that was. Man, when you did play action, boy, everybody was into the daggone hole, and you had 10 yards between the linebackers and the safeties. Now, ultimately, my second year, Barry retires at the eve of training camp, so we didn't have a running game in that particular manner, so it affected the play action game. Now, we say all of that when we fast forward. These are things that when you look at where Kenny Pickett is at, everybody knows what Najee Harris is capable of. Can he continue to build off of that? Yes. And when you see the moves that were made up front on that offensive line, that lets everybody know they are looking to control the line of scrimmage and run the football. And if they can do that, that will be a play action element that they are able to add to this offense that we have not seen before. And ultimately we can now add Pat Freiermuth controlling the middle of the field and being that, you know, that star that we hoped he would be when they actually drafted him here.
Charlie, I asked Tony Rasioppi, who is Kenny Pickett's personal quarterback trainer, earlier on the show. He was with us. What do you think is a more important dynamic, quarterback and center or quarterback and receiver, on the field-wise?
On the field is quarterback and center, and people would look back and be like, wow, you're crazy, because if you can get the ball snapped quicker and back in your hands and in place right where you need it to be every single time, especially in shotgun, that's huge because you get rid of the football easier. If you look at the time, there were times last year where the ball was floating. Quarterbacks were, you know, having to now bend down to pick up the football, and their eyes were now going from looking at the defense to eyes on the ground and then back up to the defense. Man, that's big, and that was something that Marquise Pouncey was great at. And when that ball came back, not only was it in the perfect spot, but he came back with heat on it. So, let you know, that split second allow you to get rid of the football. Those are elements that people don't think about when they're looking at. I'll pay attention to that as OTAs continue on. And ultimately, when we get into preseason football, I want to see where the snap of the football lies. Because if you can get it right in that pocket, right-hand side of a quarterback, man, that is huge. And that is something we'll start talking about, how fast Kenny Pickett gets rid of the football if he can now get a split second help with the center and snap. That's why I say center and quarterback versus center versus quarterback and receiver.
Charlie Batch joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. You know his voice. You know that's Charlie Batch. Charlie, a couple questions left here for you. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. On the same kind of vein there, you talk about the center exchange and how that matters on the field, maybe even more so than the receivers. How about a big receiver like George Pickens versus a guy like Deontay Johnson? Who would you think would aid you more as a young quarterback?
Well, I think it's kind of hard because they're both different receivers. You know, you have one that's speedy, shifty, and he can get in and out of his brace with Deontay Johnson, and we know he can make moves. No, but when you look at Pickens, he's a big, taller receiver. He can get down the field. You can throw the ball around him. He's going to make that catch. But ultimately, it comes down to, you know, what plays are being called, because there were so many times that over the course of the last couple of years that there were always outbreaking routes and nothing in the middle of the field. We now need to start working on those end cuts, those skinny routes, timing routes that you can hit on that skinny post. And if you can hit those on time, man, those turns into a 15-yard completion to ultimately a 50, 60-yard touchdown. So these are things that they ultimately have to get into the game plan, but both of those two guys are capable of doing the exact same thing. It's just a matter of what are the right route combinations to allow them to make plays when they need to make them.
Charlie, Tony Rasiopi also said that this is the strongest he's seen Kenny's arm throughout the 7 years he's been training him. What are some ways to get your arm stronger? I mean, even from rookie year to your second year, what are some mechanics or training that you can do that could affect the way that Kenny is throwing the football?
Well, everybody focuses on shoulder, bicep, tricep, you know, those type of areas. But ultimately, it comes from lower body end because, you know, when you everybody can pick up a ball and just throw, you know, not everybody, but majority of quarterbacks can throw. And you say, oh, wow, this guy got a powerful arm. But when you start getting your legs into the throw, that ball jumps off your arm. So I think that may be what he's talking about. And that ultimately is credit to Kenny Pickett understanding his body stature and understanding what he needs to work on. And when you have a trainer/quarterback coach understanding that, you start working from the ground up. Man, that's something that really ultimately could benefit Kenny here.
Last thing here for you, Charlie. Kenny Pickett put on 13 extra pounds here this offseason. Talked yesterday here on the station about the rigors of a 17-game schedule. What's it like for a quarterback, not just physically but mentally, week in and week out, playing that schedule?
Well, it's hard because I've never played a 17-game schedule. Right. That just happened. So, you know, that's going to be new to everybody. And I was not in favor of a 17-game schedule because of the way that this season unfolds. And I always used to remind the rookies and say, hey, remember, you know, you include the 4 preseason games. Then you get to around Thanksgiving, you've already played a college season. And then they would get a, you know, break, go to bowl games, work on finals, and then ultimately go play a game. That doesn't happen in the National Football League. From Thanksgiving, you still have 6 games to finish the season. Now 7 to finish the season. That includes the playoffs. So when you understand how rigorous of it is, you know, from your first year, that ultimately allows you to train and get your mind mentally ready to focus on what this 17-game schedule, hopefully a 2021-game schedule would be for these guys. And ultimately, if Kenny can lead us, man, we'll all be praising him and saying, man, what a great job of what he did year from year one to year two, mainly focus on some of the weaknesses that he had, but ultimately able to translate that from a leadership perspective. And ultimately, like he talked about, his goal is to win a Super Bowl. And man, we would embrace that around here.
Thank you, Charlie, for your time, man. Appreciate you.
Hey, I appreciate you. Thanks for having me.
Former Steelers quarterback Charlie Batch joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. We're going to hear from Kenny Pickett's personal quarterback guru coming up at 9 o'clock. At the bottom of the hour, former Steelers corner and Super Bowl champion Bryant McFadden. I happen to think Kenny's going to have a really good year, and I do think the statistics have to match up with the clutch play we saw at the end of the season. But just hearing him with the PM team the other day when his car was being stolen, hope everybody's okay. Hope Kenny got that car back and the playbook was intact. But I think after having heard him on that show, the mastery of the offense that he's got now from 1 year to the next, plus the improvement of the offensive line, assuming, hopefully, health from Najee Harris, I think the offense is going to be much better. And I think Kenny Pickett's going to be the driving force there. He talked about last season he was going through his reads and there are only so many things he was comfortable with. Now he said he's going to be looking at, okay, can I take a shot here? Are they going to give me single coverage on the outside? When I move this guy to the left, am I going to be able to take a shot outside the numbers? Can I attack the middle of the field in this formation? He's going to be looking for a shot or a chunk play early, and then if it's not there, it doesn't work out that way, then he's going to go through his progressions. I think he is going to take a step forward this year because that's what happens with second-year quarterbacks. But beyond that, I think he's surrounded now with much better talent. And if they can run the ball the way that they think they can run the ball, the way that they ran the ball in the second half of last season, that's going to open up things in the play-action game. If the Steelers can add 3 points to their second half total, they averaged 18 overall. They averaged 20 the second half of the year. If they can get it up to 23rd, that's playoff numbers. 11 of the top 14 teams in terms of offense made the playoffs last year, and 23 points per game was just about that number. So can you bump it up that much? I think they can. And I think Kenny Pickett's going to be a big-time driving force. 412-928-9370 is the number. On Twitter, @_AdamCrowley. Before we do hear from Bryant McFadden at the bottom of the hour, I defied physics yesterday. I'm going to try to explain what happened, but it was odd. And it'll never happen again. It's Adam Crowley. It's the Fan Morning Show, 93.7 The Fan.
Hey, Colin Dunlap from my great friends at Schultz Ford. You know why I love Schultz Ford? A lot of reasons, but trust is number one. You can trust you're going to deal with great people. You can trust you're going to get great service. And you can trust the whole process at Schultz Ford. Three great locations at Schultz Ford, right? Schultz Ford Wexford, Schultz Ford Harmer, Schultz Ford South in West Mifflin. Always online at SchultzFord.com. They have a gigantic, very large selection of inventory. Mobile service, that's something that you love. Something I've used, my wife has used. Come right to your house if it's a job that they can do, right there in your driveway. Pick up and delivery service, if it merits taking it back to the shop, Schultz Ford will come, pick up your vehicle, take it right to their shop and right back to where you are. You don't even have to leave your house. It's great for people that work at home. And again, three great locations. Schultz Ford has the city surrounded. Wexford, Harmer, and Schultz Ford South in West Mifflin. Always online. Check out all the inventory, SchultzFord.com.
I'm Austin Bechtel for Fan Headlines. The Pirates won the first game of the series against the Seattle Mariners, but lost the final two and were walked off on Sunday as Eugenio Suarez hit a three-run home run to down the Bucks, back to 500 at 26-26 overall. Pirates are in San Francisco tonight. 5:05 first pitch. You can hear it on 100.1 FM, AM 1020 KDKA with Rich Hill on the mound. Headlines powered by Bowser, celebrating 40 years of serving Pittsburgh.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Former Steelers corner Brian McFadden on his podcast, All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson, spoke with Joey Porter Sr. about his son, Joey Porter Jr. It's funny how that works. And we caught up with him last week. We'll hear that interview coming up in about 5 minutes here on the Fan Morning Show. Dunkin', the official coffee of the Fan Morning Show, which is brought to you by the heating, cooling, and plumbing experts at Armstrong Comfort and Matt Mertz Plumbing. Before we do hear from Bryant McFadden, let's go to Ted, Mount Washington. What's up, Ted?
What's going on, guy?
You tell me, buddy.
Hey, real quick, when it comes to Steelers, they suck when they do play action. For the last 3 years, they've been ranked almost last when it comes to play action.
Well, you know what's funny about – go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, and to me, you look at the design of the play, Canada's awful when he designs it. Look at San Francisco. Look at Philadelphia. Even the Titans, it's beautiful to watch when you see when they sell it. And you have to be able to sell it, man, with that defense going to tee off on your quarterback. But yeah. Still, it's a lousy play action.
Yeah, there's no doubt that Matt Canada is, well, not great at his job. That being said, Ben did not like to be under center. Ben did not like to turn his back to the defense and play action. The longer he got into his career, he just didn't want to do it. And last year, did you really want to take a rookie's eyes off the defense? Because that's one of the things about play action. Like, if you're going to do it from under center, your quarterback's going to turn around. He's going to put the ball in the belly of the running back. You're going to pull it out. And funny thing about the NFL, funny thing about football, when you turn around, you turn back around, people ain't where they used to be. And now I think in year two, they're going to utilize more play action. Is it something that Matt Canada is particularly good at? I suppose not. But I do think you will see more of it. And analytics folks will tell you that play action is effective with or without a running game. But old school guys will tell you, obviously, you want to run the ball more. And the more effective you are running the ball, then the more the play action is going to work. Well, they're going to run the ball well this year. Not that bold of a prediction. Their offensive line is, pedigree-wise, much better than it's been in a long time. Isaac Seumalo is a stud. One of the smartest players in the NFL. Certainly smartest offensive lineman in the NFL. And Broderick Jones, in terms of pedigree, Mueller's talked about this from the PM team. You know that guy. That he is the most talented left tackle the Steelers have ever had. Pedigree-wise. Doesn't mean he's going to be the best. Doesn't mean he's going to pan out. And then you think about Darnell Washington, they ran the ball effectively in the second half last year, and they didn't have those guys. And everyone was singing the praises of Pat Meyer, so I think they're going to run the ball really well. And they should. They should be a top five rushing attack in the NFL. I've said this about the Steelers. Defensively, they've paid enough on that side of the ball to be a top five unit, and they should be. They have to be. And offensively, they've poured enough resources now into the running game that they should be a top five unit. But if you do that with the running, you are going to have more effectiveness in your play-action game. I told you that I defied physics. I brought this up in the pre-show with my man Austin behind the glass. Yesterday, my wife handed me a cup of coffee. I was sitting down on the couch. She gave me the cup of coffee with the handle facing away. So as I stood up, I burnt my hands, not using the handle, spilled on my left hand, dropped the coffee cup because I burned myself. In my panic, flung the cup up in the air, had to clean all the coffee off my carpet, had to clean it off my pants and my hand, had to run my hand under cold water. And 10 minutes later, as we're watching TV, looked up, coffee all over the ceiling. Defied physics. It's not an easy thing to do, Austin. Spill upward. But hey, it's me. Coming up next, Brian McFadden joins us. You can listen to him on the All Things Covered podcast with current Steeler, Patrick Peterson. We'll hear from him next. It's a Fan Morning Show. All right, Austin, before we hear from Brian McFadden, it's Crowley with you, by the way. I have made my outdoor slash party games power rankings. Are you ready, Austin?
I am ready.
Number one, Dizzy Bet.
You love Dizzy Bet.
Love Dizzy Bet. I felt like I could make my one and my number two just one, but I've wiffle ball at number two. I feel like if you're partying, you're having a good time, you play wiffle ball, eventually you're just going to bust out and play Dizzy Bet too. At least I am. But I got wiffle ball two. Can Jam 3. Ever do the Can Jam?
I have, yeah.
I love Can Jam.
I have Can Jam.
See, you're pro. Did you play Frisbee? Ultimate?
I played some Ultimate Frisbee in grade school in the gym. How about that? We'd go after school like once or twice a month and go play Ultimate Frisbee.
I was on the rowing team in high school, and we used to say that Ultimate Frisbee was the official sport of crew. Because most of the time you're just laying around in tents while your teammates are rowing. You would row. It'd take you a half hour, 45 minutes to get the boat out there, go race, bring the boat back. But other than that, you're just sitting around, so we'd play Ultimate Frisbee all the time. So I love Can Jam. Number four, I like playing this outside. Beer pong. Beer pong is great.
As long as the weather's good.
Yes. Day like today, beer pong, let's go. And number five, spike ball. Receiving no votes because it's terribly overrated. Cornhole. You know what's not overrated? The All Things Covered podcast with Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden. Brian McFadden was on with us last week talking about Joey Porter Jr. He talked to Joey Porter Sr. on the podcast. Listen and enjoy this conversation. We are joined right now by former Steelers cornerback Brian McFadden. Brian, thank you so much for joining us on the program today, man. How's it going?
What's happening? Thank you for having me. How you guys doing?
Oh, we're great, man. Thank you so much for coming on. I caught your podcast, All Things Covered, the other day. You do it with Patrick Peterson. You had Joey Porter Sr. on. And the one thing that's really stuck out to me, and I wonder if you feel the same way, is I think a lot of Steelers fans might look at Joey Porter Jr. and say, oh, he's going to be just like his dad. It seems to me, Bryant, that both guys have forged their own paths, and I actually find JPJ to be his own dude, a different kind of individual.
No question. I'm not going to say they're night and day, but they have different personalities. And, you know, watching Senior for such a long time, for all the fans there, you know, he was a guy that didn't mind saying what was on his mind. You know, he'll put it on paper, put it on film for you. He was a guy that was looking to get people fired up verbally or through his actions, and he played the same way. Now, when you watch Junior plays, of course, he plays with a lot of energy, a lot of passion, but just the verbal display is not the same as his father.
Brian, how much communication happens in a defensive backfield? You know, as a receiver, you're out there on an island, a lot, and a lot of it's silent communication with the quarterback. If you're offensive lineman, obviously you're communicating next to your guard or your tackle or your center. But in the defensive backfield, like Minka and, say, Joey Porter Jr. starting the first game of the year, you know, how much communication will Minka send off to Joey Porter Jr., or how much will Patrick Peterson send off to Minka? How does that whole dynamic work?
Well, it's different scenarios, honestly, because certain plays require you to say more. Some plays, when you know you're just out there and you got your guy, there's nothing really need to be said because that's your guy. But when you talk about involving different zone concepts, fire zone concepts, you know, combo coverages where you have a double call where it could be a 63 call and that first number comes out based on what the offense comes out. So let's say they come out in a regular formation, right? You got one wide receiver on one side, tight end on the other side, wide receiver on the other side, two backs in the backfield, or either, you know, you come out in a 11 personnel where you have one back, three wide receivers and one tight end. Now we're gonna play the second number, the second digit. So when you have double calls, that requires you to communicate more than just having a single call or just playing man-to-man.
How do you think a guy like Joey Porter Jr. walks in here this year? There's the expectation not of being a first-round pick, but being a high-pedigree player. Do you think that he thinks he's going to walk in here and earn that job to be the starter?
I believe he feels like he's willing to do whatever the team needs him to do to compete and eventually try to showcase to the organization that he's ready to step in and do what he's been called to do. That's the attitude that I get from him. We had him on the podcast as well, and just talking to him and just knowing his background, it's all about working. You know, working, when you put forth the work and the effort, the results will follow. And eventually, you know, when you get to that level, everybody wants to be a starter. That's the name of the game. If you don't want to be a starter, then I don't want you on the team. So So for him, clearly he wants to be a starter. But until that happens, it's his job to get better day in and day out, show that he can be consistent, he can be relied on to do what he's called to do and make plays.
Brian, did you have a chip on your shoulder? Like, you got drafted in the second round, and so obviously did Joey Porter Jr. Did you have a chip on your shoulder saying, you know what, I should have been a first-round pick? Did that carry you through your NFL career, and will that carry Joey Porter Jr. through his NFL career? Like, hey, I felt like I was a first-round pick. I wasn't. I got drafted in the second round. I got a lot more to prove.
Oh, no question. I had a chip on my shoulder. It was personal, too, because I felt like I should have been drafted higher than I was. Now, I didn't have the expectations of being a for sure first rounder like Junior was, but it still hit home. It still made me feel some type of way. And yes, we spoke to him, and that's what he said. You know, he has a chip on his shoulder, and he should, because many people felt like leading up to the draft, worst case scenario, he probably would be the third corner to come off the board. And that didn't happen. You know what I mean? He ended up coming off the board in the second round. So when you look at the expectations that he had for himself in the draft based on what all the analysts and the experts were saying, and that did not happen, no question, he's fired up and he's ready to go. And if you remember that clip, draft night, when the first round was over and his father, you know, spoke to him, he said now they want to see a pissed-off football player. Give them a pissed-off football player.
Brian McFadden joining us here on the Fan Morning Show, Crowley and Doran with you. Brian, when you think Mike Tomlin, what comes to mind? We've been debating all morning because Ross Tucker put out an NFL coaching ranking list about where Mike Tomlin belongs in the upper echelon of NFL coaches. But when I say his name, what comes to mind?
A leader of men, consistent. He knows how to motivate men. And he's a guy that when you talk about strategically getting things across, that's who he is. And I think the most important thing, the first thing I would say, consistency. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, he's never had a record below 500. You know, coaching double-digit years in the National Football League, when you talk about a roster turnover to some degree, always finding a way to finish above 500, is extremely rare to see, and he's in that category.
Ryan Clark said he cares about his players. Did you find that to be the case? And also, is that the way you felt about all your coaches?
Yeah, coach. No question. Coach T cared about the guys, even when they're no longer there. You know, when you're a Steeler, you're always a Steeler. I remember when me and Pat P first started our podcast, and I wanted to get him on. I think he was our second or our third guest. You know, over 3 years ago, I was well retired from the game. Pat was, you know, playing for the Cardinals. He said, "Man, whatever, be McNeese, I'm there." That's just the type of person he is. And guess what? I wasn't on the roster. It wasn't like I was doing anything that he can benefit from in regards to making plays to help the team win. But just knowing that he coached me, I'm part of Steelers, and he said, like, whatever Mac needs, no question, I'm there. And guess what? He was on the podcast, and we had a great podcast. I think it's about time that we run it back and get him back on again now that I think about it. But that just tells you he cares about you while you're there in uniform, and he cares about you when you're no longer there in the building.
You speak about Patrick Peterson. We've seen this happen a bunch of times in the NFL. I mean, Rod Woodson, Charles Woodson, so many guys have made that transition from corner to safety as they got older in their career. I mean, Patrick Peterson, he's, what, 32, 33 years old. Could you see Patrick Peterson move into a free safety spot at all this year, or do you think he's just going to be that field corner for the Steelers?
I see Pat moving around to areas where the team needs him to move around in. Pat P is the ultimate team guy. He's at a stage in his career where he wants to win. I mean, it's safe to say he's the first ballot Hall of Famer, right? So now it's about trying to find a way to hoist that sticky Lombardi. So if they see it's better for the entire defense that Pat is inside as a nickel, as a dime, or they see him, you know, being able to help the team more as a safety, Pat is willing to do it. And he has that open mind and understanding, man, whatever they need me to do to put my hand in this pile to help us win ball games, I'm going to do so, which is a rare thing to think of an individual like Pat P, because he's always been a corner, always been a lockdown guy. But he has that mindset that, you know, whatever it is they need me to do, I'm willing to do. So to answer your question, man, if they need him to play dime, nickel, he's going to do it.
What kind of quarterback scared you the most, Brian?
Oh, my goodness. Quarterbacks that had an extremely gifted arm talent, but also had enough mobility to buy time when need be. Those are the ones that can cause the most problems, because you talk about the pocket presence. They have that. They can complete any pass in the passing tree. They have a strong arm, so if a receiver ever gets a step on you, they can lead them to the promised land. But they can buy time when need be and make plays happen with their legs. Those are the ones you don't want no problems with.
How does Kenny Pickett kind of fit into that?
He has all of that. I'll say this. I don't want to put this on him just yet because we're getting ready to see year two of Kenny Pickett. But he has the mobility when need be to buy time, right? I think we all would say that, right? He has the guts that a quarterback needs to have to fight through adversity. And I'm saying that because of looking how he finished the season. Correct me if I'm wrong, the last seven games that he started, he was 5-2, correct?
And not turning the football over.
Exactly. So we saw growth. We saw maturity for him. Now, in regards to how strong his arm is, I haven't seen enough. And I don't want to compare what he did at Pitt to the NFL because it's night and day.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's not just about throwing a different football. It's night and day in regards to what you threw, how you threw the ball in college is different than how you throw the ball on Sundays. So I got to still kind of get an understanding of his arm strength. And granted, guys who play with him and practice with him probably can answer that question better than I can. But in regards to being able to put the ball where he needs to, he's shown the ability to do that. And I think that's why I'm so excited, because for Kenny Pickett to jump into the saddle unexpectedly, go through growing pains, but the latter part of the season, he finally found his stride. He was battle-tested and finished in the last seven games 5-2, comeback win against the Raiders, seeing what he was able to do against Baltimore. I love that. I love that.
Bryant, you're so good at this, man. We really appreciate you coming on. Tell people where they can find the podcast.
Listen, you can find our podcast, me and Pat P., All Things Covered, anywhere where podcasts are found. We also have a YouTube channel as well. So if you actually would like to see us, you can watch us. Just hit allthingscovered.com/YouTube. I think that's the heading for us to be found. And hit the subscribe and like button, man. We've been really doing some good content. And I've been a little biased. I've been showing a lot of love to our Steeler Nation. But we oftentimes get other players involved as well. But right now, I'm so fired up about this season, just like you guys. I've just been rolling in Steeler guests after Steeler guests. And who knows what legend we will have on next. You know who I would like to get on our podcast next?
Who's that?
The great Dick LeBeau.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Maybe you can have him read Night Before Christmas.
No question that. And I would love Dick LeBeau to share to the world why people consider him to be the mastermind of the Fire Zone, because he told me one practice back in 06, 07, but I would love to hear the story for everybody else, because, you know, everybody considers Dick to be the mastermind of creating the Fire Zone, but he has a unique story in how that came about. So that he might be the next guy. He might be the next guy.
We'll keep an eye out for it, man. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
That's Brian McFadden, former Steelers corner, Super Bowl champion. He talked about what scared him when he was facing quarterbacks. Like, what kind of quarterback scared him the most? He said mobile but with a strong arm. Well, something Tony Rasiopi told us last week has me feeling pretty good about Kenny Pickett then, if that's the case. We'll hear from Tony Rasiopi coming up in about 15 minutes here on the Fan Morning Show. But coming up next, Big Time Outlet says the Steelers had one of the best off seasons in the entirety of the NFL. What's that mean? Who said it? That's next on the Fan Morning Show.
I'm Austin Bechtel for Fan Headlines. Pirates in San Francisco tonight at 5:05. The Bucs lost another series on Sunday, losing 6-3 in extra innings to the Seattle Mariners as Eugenio Suarez hit a three-run home run in the bottom of the 10th off of Robert Stevenson to down the Bucs. Pirates at 26-26 overall at .500 with Rich Hill on the mound tonight. Headlines powered by Bowser, celebrating 40 years of serving Pittsburgh.
Sports Illustrated has the Steelers having the third best offseason, looking at their free agency acquisitions and the guys they picked up in the draft. I think that sounds about right. I really wish that they had signed Cam Sutton based on his versatility, but then they got Patrick Peterson. Pretty good plan B, guy who's going to wind up in the Hall of Fame one day. They addressed their offensive line in terms of depth with Nate Herbig. They got LaRaven Clark, another guy who'd played in the league and started some games, who's going to be a swing tackle for them. And then, of course, Samalo and Broderick Jones, who should be the left side of your starting offensive line this year. Yeah, I think they did a really good job. And that's why I've said the Steelers are going to win 12 games. That's not me being a homer. That's just me calling it the way I see it. They won 9 games last year juggling quarterbacks. Kenny getting hurt in the second half of the season, having a banged up Najee Harris, missing TJ Watt for half the year. I thought they started with the wrong quarterback in Mitch Trubisky. I didn't think they gave Kenny a great chance to succeed by throwing him in the middle of the Jets game. And yet, they still won 9 games. I think it's a much better roster this year. I expect a better Kenny Pickett. When you look at all the draft grades, and Daniel Jeremiah and Todd McShay and Mel Kiper, and the list goes on and on and on, Steelers were getting B pluses and A's from everybody. Nobody was down on the Steelers draft. And I still think you got to wait and see what happens at inside linebacker, but at least you're throwing a couple of bodies at it that aren't named Devin Bush. It's a manageable schedule. I think they're going to win 12 games. But we've got more important things to talk about. I came out with my list, my top 5 party/outdoor games, my power rankings: number 1, Dizzy Bat, number 2, Wiffle Ball, number 3, Can Jam, number 4, Beer Pong, number 5, Spike Ball. Austin is behind the glass today. He's doing a wonderful job. You've got a list, man. Let's hear it.
I do. I am on the same boat as you. Of course, I have to go number 1 with Wiffle Ball. But then I go a little bit non-traditional with my next 2 picks. At number 2, I have Backyard Basketball. When you just have everybody over the house.
Yeah.
And you got the hoop in the driveway with this little slab of concrete. Or even if you just go up to the park and you're balling. Some people might be wearing flip-flops if you have a pool. And you're just having a good time out there with basketball. I love backyard basketball. Just basketball in general.
Yeah, you could play horse. There's so much you could do.
There's a lot of options.
Knockout.
Third, I have sand/beach volleyball.
Let me tell you something, Austin. My boys and I, in high school, we went to every single girls' volleyball game, whether we were dating girls on the team or just good friends with the girls on the team. We were the cheering section. We used to play beach volleyball all the time. Now, I sucked, but we played all the time. That's a good addition. Keep going.
I was the manager of the girls' volleyball team my senior year.
You and me, man. Our love of wiffle ball and girls' volleyball.
We're doing great.
Mm-hmm.
And I played volleyball in high school.
I did not.
Number 4. Okay, this is where you're not going to like me.
Get out of here with cornhole. Don't you cornhole. Say cornhole. You said cornhole.
I have cornhole. You see, maybe it's my Waynesburg education or something. I don't know. If
the math?
Yeah, we had a saying that, you know, journalism and math doesn't really go very well. But cornhole is fantastic. I do like it. As long as somebody is there to be able to record the scores, and I'm usually the one keeping track of it, typically, at least when I play, so that I don't mess it up.
Well, I got this text. Buddy, I'm 37 and have 4 kids. This list would have been great 15 years ago. I can stand still, drink beers, playing cornhole without breaking a sweat. That's fine. That is cornhole's appeal. Like, you can drink and do it at the same time. Same thing with Can Jam. We always play by the rules. You have to hold your beer in one hand. You do the same thing.
There's a lot of versatility.
Yes. But I know I can get going. I can do 4th of July. I can do Memorial Day. I can turn up for New Year's, and I could turn up for St. Patrick's Day. I got 4 days a year where I can really turn it up, plus like weddings and stuff like that. So if I know I'm going into it and I want to get a sweat on, I'll just play something like Can Jam, where you got to move a little bit more, or I'll play something like wiffle ball. But I don't want to stand there doing math with cornhole. What's your number 1?
5th, I got spike ball. So in order, wiffle ball 1, backyard basketball 2, sand beach volleyball 3, cornhole 4, spikeball 5.
You know what's a fun game, but you don't play it a lot because you got to have the gear and stuff, is badminton. Always loved badminton.
Only played it a couple times.
We used to play it in gym. It would get intense because you can really run. That thing stays up in the air
forever. Yeah, the birdie. It like hangs in the air.
Did you ever play Nuke'em?
No.
It's like volleyball, but you catch the ball. I one time saw a video. I'm sure a lot of people out there have seen it too. James Harrison playing Nuke'em, but with a medicine ball. So you're like a 50-pound medicine ball. You'd have to throw up over the volleyball net and catch it.
I've seen that, yeah.
Guy was a freak. But that game was always fun. We used to play it by Bower Hill Swim Club's pool in Mount Lebanon back in the day. I don't know if it's in Mount Lebanon, but whatever. Bower Hill Swim Club. They have a volleyball court back there, and we used to play Nukem. I don't hate your list. Just kick cornhole off. What are your top outdoor/drinking games? We don't have to do a serious show today. We're not doing a serious show. Hit us up, 412-928-9370 on Twitter at _AdamCrowley. Coming up next, Kenny Pickett's personal quarterback guru, Tony Rasiopi. There's something Kenny Pickett is doing better now than he's done at any point in the last 7.5 years. You'll hear it from Tony. Next, Fan Weather, brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Sun is shining. Spring is here. Time to get a great deal in Silverados and Colorado. Stop in online, sunchevy.com. Hot today, highs in the mid-80s.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.